Open your Bible with me, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation, chapter 1. Thank you, Ryan Johnson, for filling in so ably tonight for David Burschall, who is with our collegiate singers. And I expect by now they're winging their way across the Atlantic, on their way to Germany for their mission, which begins there in a few hours. And we certainly want to keep them in our prayers, and we will have a prayer time for them at the conclusion of this worship time tonight, as we also pray for our Southeast Asia mission team that will be going out in a week or so under the direction of Hal Cooper. Now, next Sunday night, we're going to ordain and set apart to the gospel ministry five of our members, our five seminary interns who, by God's grace, God's great providence, have come now to seminary graduation. They'll be graduated next Friday in Louisville. And then on Sunday evening, we will ordain them. They've been examined by presbyteries. Five different presbyteries or ordination councils composed of Lakeview pastors and deacons. And that'll be a high occasion for us next Sunday. So you'll want to be sure to be here for that. Well, in our journey through the Baptist faith and message, basic Bible beliefs that we hold in common, we now have come to Article 8, the Lord's Day. And so tonight I want us to think about the Lord's Day, which is a special day for God's people. And I want to begin by reading to you that article. Perhaps you have your copy of the little booklet or pamphlet that contains these articles, which we hold in common. Article 8 on the Lord's Day reads, "The first day of the week is the Lord's Day. It is a Christian institution for regular observance. It commemorates the resurrection of Christ from the dead and should include exercises of worship and spiritual devotion, both public and private. Activities on the Lord's Day should be commensurate with the Christian's conscience under the Lordship of Christ." And so we find in the very first sentence of this article that the Lord's Day, the second sentence, the Lord's Day is a Christian observance. Now, the only reference in the Bible to the Lord's Day, or certainly the only time the term the Lord's Day is found in Scripture, is found in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. And when John was exiled on the island of Patmos, this is what he wrote. Verse 10, "On the Lord's Day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a voice like a loud trumpet." So it was on the Lord's Day that John received this message, this apocalyptic word from the Spirit of God. As we think about the Lord's Day tonight, I want you to think with me along three lines of thought. First of all, I want you to think with me about the purpose of the Lord's Day. The purpose of the Lord's Day. Why has the Lord's Day been designed by God? What is its reason for existence? What is the rationale behind the Lord's Day? And in a nutshell, I would simply say to you, it is to worship God corporately. The Lord's Day is a special day for God's people to assemble together, perhaps in a very comfortable facility like this, which we have to assemble in tonight, perhaps in some other setting, perhaps even outdoors, but to assemble corporately to worship God. Now, in order to learn the significance of the Lord's Day, we need to go back and get some of the origin and the development of the Lord's Day. Go with me now to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, as we see the foundation of what has now become for us the Lord's Day. The very first book of the Bible. And we find here in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2, "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. And so on the seventh day, the Lord rested from all of his work." Now, chapter 1 tells us that God took 6 days to create the world. And I personally believe they were 6 24-hour solar days. And God willing, I hope to preach through the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, starting the last Sunday in August. But just to say tonight that that's coming. But it took God 6 days to make the cosmos. And then after 6 days of creative activity, God rested. And verse 3 says, "And God blessed the seventh day, and He made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating it had done." And so God rested on the seventh day. Now, the seventh day or the Sabbath day is not the same as the Lord's Day, which is the first day of the week. But this is the origin of what later became the Lord's Day. Now go with me to Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. You'll recall that the Ten Commandments were given to God's chosen people, the Israelites, given through God's prophet, given to God's prophet, I should say, Moses on Mount Sinai. And they're listed for us, or given for us, or recorded for us in Exodus chapter 20. And one of the Ten Commandments concerns the observance of the Sabbath. Now look in chapter 20, verse 8. "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy." That is, the Sabbath day was a special day. The word holy means to be set apart for God's purposes. Verse 9. "6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it," or on it, "you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day," that is, the rest day, "and He made it holy." Now, the Sabbath day really had its origin when God rested on day seven. But now we find this Sabbath principle established in the Mosaic Law. God said to the Israelites, "Work 6 days, but after 6 days, rest on the seventh day." Now, there's a pattern here between work and rest and worship. And the pattern is that God knows that we have certain legitimate physical needs, emotional needs, mental needs, spiritual needs that require some rhythm and some balance. If we work 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year, if we work day after day after day after day, and we do not take time for rest, God knows that we're headed for a crash. God knows that we need a day of rest. And so God has established that. He gave it on Sinai to Moses. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. We go from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. And here we find Jesus speaking to the issue of Sabbath observance, and Jesus prophetically and courageously pointing out the corruption of the Sabbath on the part of many Jews of that day. Matthew chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. "At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath.' And he answered, 'Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He," that's David, "entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple desecrate the day," that is, they work, "and yet are innocent? I tell you that one greater than the temple is here." Now he's speaking of himself. Verse 7, If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent." That is, the innocent were those followers of Jesus who pluck the grains in the field to nourish themselves. And then he says in verse 8, "For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Now we need to remember that Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of the Sabbath, but he's also Lord of every other day. And so Jesus makes it quite clear to these who are seeking to undermine his ministry and seeking to ensnare him that he's Lord. Verse 9. "Going on from that place, he went into a synagogue." This is also on the Sabbath now. "And a man with a shriveled hand was there, and looking for a reason to accuse Jesus." Here we see the nefarious plots of these people who are trying to do Jesus in. "They asked him," this is what they said, "is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" In other words, is it accordance to the law of God to do good, a deed of mercy, of kindness, on the Sabbath day, the day of rest? "And he said to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out?" And the answer, of course, is, of course they would. Verse 12, "How much more valuable is a man than a sheep?" In other words, if there's a sheep in distress and you would redeem the sheep or save the sheep or take some extenuating measures to see that this sheep is plucked from a pit or a hole, then how much more valuable is a person? So how much more important is it, or how much more legitimate is it to heal a man who has a shriveled hand on the Sabbath day? Jesus says, therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And so he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Now, the Pharisees were sticklers for Sabbath observance. And I believe there were something like 600 plus Sabbath ordinances or regulations that the Pharisees were very, very careful to keep. And Jesus pretty much upended their little apple cart here when he went around doing the kind of things that he did, like causing people who had a shriveled hand to be healed on the Sabbath day. But Jesus simply saying the principle is the Sabbath is to do good and not evil. And so we see that here. I want you to see it in one other place, a parallel text in Mark chapter 2, Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28. And here it's just spelled out for us quite clearly. Mark 2, 27 and 28. We just pick up the end of the narrative here. The same narrative that we just read in Matthew's gospel. "Then he," Jesus, "said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." The Sabbath is not to be a day to burden us down, but it is to be a day to bless us and to benefit us. And so what is the purpose of the Lord's Day? It is a day of rest to bless us, that we might gather with God's people to worship, that we might be set free from responsibilities of daily toil and labor, that we might come into the Lord's presence in the company of the Lord's people, refreshed and rested, and now as believers to celebrate the grace of God given to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we are spiritual beings, and we need to worship. Just like a battery will run down and need to be recharged to be effective, our spiritual batteries run down. And there's something about coming together with God's people on the Lord's Day to come and sing the great hymns of the faith and to sing the great choruses of recent days and to fellowship with one another, to pray together, to hear the testimonies of God's grace at work in different ones' lives, and to hear the Word of God proclaimed and taught. There's something about that that renews us and imparts to us spiritual energy and strength to face another week. You see, our society is a very busy society. And perhaps three words that characterize Americans are hurry, worry, and then finally bury. And that's not the way to live. God didn't want us to live that way. God wants us to have some rhythm. We need to slow down, and Sunday is the special day for God's people to slow down, to rest, and to celebrate the presence of God in corporate worship. Now, secondly, I want you to think with me about the practice of the Lord's Day. The practice of the Lord's Day. What I mean by that is, why Sunday and not Saturday? Because the Sabbath day is Saturday. The first day of creation is Sunday. The last day of creation is Friday. God rested on Saturday, which is the Sabbath day. So why do we rest on Sunday and not Saturday? Well, there are some who do worship on Saturday. Near here, there is a Seventh-day Adventist church house. And there is a group of people known as Seventh-day Baptists. There aren't very many in number, but they believe that Saturday is the Sabbath day, the day of rest and worship, and that's the day they set apart to do that. So why are we here today instead of yesterday? That's a legitimate question. Why have Christians made the transition from Saturday to Sunday? Well, let me give you several reasons. Number one, Jesus was raised on the first day. Jesus was raised on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Look in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, that is, when Saturday was done, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week. Do you see that phrase there, the first day of the week? On the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" And when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "And don't be alarmed, he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." Now, Mark records for us that Jesus was raised from the dead on the first day of the week. Now, the other gospel accounts record the same thing because that's the day in which it took place. And so somehow, early believers, early followers of Jesus, because of the fact that their Lord and Savior arose on the first day, began to gather on the first day for worship. A second reason is because Jesus appeared to the disciples on the first day. Look in Mark chapter 16, verse 9. "When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons." And verse 12, "And afterward Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country." What did I do? I said something wrong. Jesus appeared in a different form. That's good, that's good. He needs to appear to deacons. Every deacon would be wise to have an encounter, a fresh encounter with Jesus. Make him a better deacon. And so we see that Jesus appears to disciples and to deacons on the first day of the week. As well he should. And so that's a good reason for us to have worship on Sunday. Reason number three. Reason number three, Jesus gave the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave the Holy Spirit on the first day. Look in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, beginning with verse 19. On the evening of the first day of the week. You see that, verse 19? Can I say a word about Sunday night church? Hey, I know you're the crowd that doesn't need to hear this, because you're here. But I like Sunday night church. It's my favorite service of the week. And I hear sometimes people say, you know, I'm under grace, and because I'm under grace, I don't have to show up on Sunday night. I just worship on Sunday morning because I'm under grace. You know, I'm under grace too, and I like to show up on Sunday night because I'm under grace. Because you just can't get enough of God's grace. And there's something that happens to me when I gather with God's people that blesses me and encourages me. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, and this is what he said, "Peace be with you." So here we find Jesus appearing on the Lord's Day evening. Verse 20, "And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and his disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.' And with that he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" And you say, "Well, Pastor, how does this line up with the day of Pentecost? It says here that Jesus breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.' Well, I thought they received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost." I don't know the answer to that, so I'm sorry I can't help you. There's somewhat of a mystery here, but perhaps it's a promise that there's the fullness of the Spirit coming in just a few days. But nevertheless, we find here that it was on the first day of the week, in the evening, when Jesus met, that they received the promise of the Spirit. A fourth reason, the early church worshiped on the first day. Those first century followers of the Lord Jesus Christ following his ascension gathered not on the Sabbath day, but on the first day. Not on Saturday, but on Sunday. And there's no indication anywhere in Scripture that they were rebuked or corrected by the Spirit of God. Look in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. "On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread." There it is. Now, the reference here to breaking bread is probably not a potluck supper. It's not a covered dish deal. It is a reference to the body of our Lord Jesus, the blood shed on the cross. It's a reference to what we call the Lord's Supper. And so we find these early Christians gathering on the first day of the week around the Lord's table to break the bread and to take the cup, the symbolic of the price that Jesus paid for our eternal salvation. And then let me give you a fifth reason. There are others I could give, but let me give you a fifth reason. The Bible was completed. The Bible was completed on the first day. Look again in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. Again, this is John on the island of Patmos, and he says, "On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, 'Write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches.'" It was on the first day of the week, as John was exiled on Patmos, that the Spirit of God gave to him this very last book of the New Testament. And the canon of Scripture was closed after the writing of the book of Revelation. And so you have the Sabbath day, which is Saturday, and the Lord's Day, which is Sunday. On the Sabbath day, we have God's completion of creation. On the Lord's Day, we have God's finishing of redemption by His resurrection. On the Sabbath day, we have completion of natural life. On the Lord's day, we have the completion of supernatural or spiritual life. On the Sabbath day, we have life in Adam. On the Lord's day, we have life in Christ. On the Sabbath day, we have the work of God's hand. But on the Lord's day, we have the work of God's heart. And so that's the reason that we've gathered this morning and again this evening on the Lord's Day. Now, finally, let me talk to you for just a moment about the priority of the Lord's Day. The priority of the Lord's Day. What is the priority of the Lord's Day? I would simply say it is to seek God first, that he might be the preeminent one. Now, that does not negate in any way our responsibility or our duty to seek God every day, Monday through Saturday. But the Lord's Day is a day with the primary objective to seek the face of God first. And you know, we can make it positive or we can make it negative. We can say about the Lord's Day, it's something that I have to do or ought to do. It's my duty to do. Or we could say with the psalmist, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And you know, when you gather in this room on the Lord's Day, and you come with eager anticipation, with an open mind to hear the Word of God expounded, with a desire to bless the heart of God with the sacrifices of praise and adoration and thanksgiving, you're going to meet Jesus here. You can meet Jesus at Lakeview. He's here. Spirit of God visits with us Sunday by Sunday by Sunday in this very room. And yet there are those who come out of a sense of duty or obligation, or perhaps because parents require them to come, and they have no sense of the presence of God because they don't come with hungry hearts. If you go away disappointed, it's not the fault of God. It's because you came with little sense of expectation that you might encounter God. And so the Lord's Day ought to be a priority. It's not something that we just do when we don't have something better to do, go to the beach or the lake or go see grandma or whatever. And when we're traveling on vacation or business or whatever, it's certainly possible to worship with other brothers and sisters on the Lord's Day. And you say, well, I can't find another Baptist church. Then go to a church of another denomination. And God's hand is on more than the Baptist churches. And you'll find some wonderful worship experiences and some wonderful Christians in other places if you seek the Lord first on the Lord's Day. And so my final word tonight would be to know that this day is God's special day for us. It's not an ordinary day. It's not just another day. It's a special day for God's people, for those who've been redeemed by His grace. And anything that you and I can do to make it more special will pay spiritual dividend and benefit to us. Some time ago, I received a letter from a student at Auburn University who was at that time a member of this church and now has graduated and moved away. Let me read just a portion of it to you. She wrote, I thank the Lord for leading me to this family of believers at Lakeview Baptist Church. Since I have started worshiping here, the Lord has made me concerned about something that I would like to share in this letter with you. The Lord has burdened me about making Sundays special, set-apart days. This quarter, now this is back when we were under the quarter system, not the current semester system. This quarter I have tried to get all of my schoolwork done in 6 days and then lay all my regular schoolwork aside on Sunday so that I can spend precious time in God's Word. I found that the Lord provides the time to do the work I need to do in 6 days. I believe it's a direct result from remembering this day. The Lord has richly blessed my study time during the week. It's given me success in school. I'm praying that the Lord will remind more and more of His people of this great rest in honoring Him. Some of you will remember Dina Aiken, and she was a member of this church, a very godly young lady who recognized that Sunday was a special day for God's people. Let's pray together.